eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Silver and Black. Today, segment two, and we are getting into our weekly Raider Nation mailbag. We're taking your voicemails. And as I say that, in case you're watching and you don't remember what the number is, I'm flashing it up there so you can get on next week. 702-900-7869 is the number. 702-900-7869. I'll leave it up there for a few minutes and I'll put it in the description below. So if you're watching us after the fact or you're listening to us, we will have it in the description of the podcast and the video so you guys can always find access to it, as well as the latest and greatest journalism magic from Mr. Mo Moten. So you can get links to his latest stuff down below. You can also get links to my stuff. So there you go. All right, let's get to these calls. And first, we're going to go to Travis in my hometown of San Diego. Here's Travis. Let me turn this up so you guys can actually hear it. Here we go.
Hey, guys. What's up? This is Travis from San Diego, California. So, wow, man. Brock Bowers. Who would have known? So I wanted to talk about Luke Getsy, actually, because a lot of us think we're going to do a lot of 12 personnel, 22 personnel with two tight ends, which I know we will. But I was looking through the history of Luke Getsy and where he spent his time. I think it's important to note that he spent time with the Green Bay Packers before the Chicago Bears. More importantly, the time he spent with Devontae Adams, he was a receivers coach for the Green Bay Packers during the time Devontae Adams was there. And I think some key notes to look out for is the years he spent in 2019, 2020, and 2021. Aaron Rodgers won 2020 he won the MVP, so just keep that in mind. In 2021, he had another spectacular season, and so did Devontae Adams. During that time, Getsy was pass game coordinator and quarterback's coach. So I went back, looked at the highlights, and that offensive scheme was much different than what the Bears ran in 2022 and 2023 when Getsy was offensive coordinator. So it's kind of obvious that Getsy tailored his offense towards Justin Fields and the RPO and, you know, heavy sets. So obviously we don't have that quarterback available. So I'm thinking we're going to see a lot more of the Packers West Coast scheme with Devontae Adams being there, and he's familiar with it. And the reason why I was bringing this up, because I just heard in the Max Crosby podcast and Devontae Adams, he actually brought up the scheme they're going to be running with the Raiders and Getsy. And he said there's a lot of the terminology is the same from before, so he knows the offense, he's used to it. So that just kind of tells me that they're going to go more what the Packers are running during his time there. So, you know, just a little nugget for Raider fans, I would go back and just check out some Packer you know, highlights in the 2020 and 2021 season. Not saying we're not going to see two tight end sets, but I think we're going to see a lot more what Packers ran during that time, because I think that's what Moore gets you familiar with. You know, he got stuck with a scrambling quarterback, you know, and, you know, we all know what happened there. So, yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it. And keep up the good work. Peace out.
Travis, what a call. That's a great call. I mean,
his research.
Yes, he did his research and noticed some really good things. And Mo, he brings up, now, of course, Getsy ran through a couple different positions with the Packers before he became the OC down in Chicago. But what can we learn? Is he got a point there as far as the quarterback? Because that's it's true. When you have a different quarterback with a different skill set, the Raiders don't have a highly mobile or running quarterback. They have Minshew, who is a little bit functional mobility, but obviously Aiden O'Connell is not. So what do you make of that, and what Travis's point is there?
So a couple of things here. You talked about Luke Getsy as a passing game coordinator. I just want to note that even if you're a passing game coordinator, it doesn't mean you completely run the passing game offense. Some passing game coordinators, and if you can read back with Packers fans, they talked about Luke Getsy running the third down offense, and I think it was Stenovich running goal line offense. So they had their passing attack, as far as a play calling perspective, split up. So different coaches handled different situations. One coach handled third downs. One coach handled goal line situations. One coach handled, you know, early downs. So it wasn't all Luke Getsy. I just want to make that clear. When you look at Luke Getsy's track record as a passing coordinator with the Packers, he wasn't making all the play calls for the passing game. That was divvied up among the coaches. That's number one. Number two, he brought up Aaron Rodgers having an MVP year, which is correct. Aaron Rodgers did have MVP years in that stretch with Luke Getsy there. But it wasn't like Luke Getsy turned Aaron Rodgers into an MVP. Remember, Aaron Rodgers had won two MVPs before Luke Getsy got that position. So I want to make that clear, too, that I see people saying, well, Aaron Rodgers MVP when Luke Getsy was a passing coordinator. He was already an MVP player before he got there.
Yes.
Now, what I will say is, you should look at what the Packers have done, because you want to run things that players are familiar with, because it makes the install a lot easier when you're walking into a door and you're introducing an offense, especially to a quarterback who's not familiar with your offense. It helps that your star wide receiver knows the offense. So that's a check mark there for me. I don't criticize Luke Getsy as far as how he works with pass catchers. Not only did he work with Davante Adams, and Davante Adams had some highlight years in Green Bay, look at his years in Chicago with Cole Kmet. I've made this point multiple times that Cole Kmet had great progression under Luke Getsy as an offensive coordinator. Now, and this is why I like the Brock Bowers pick. This is why I don't have doubts about maybe the receiver talent they're bringing in. But if you look at Luke Getsy's history, Aaron Rodgers aside, because I don't give him credit for developing Aaron Rodgers, when has Luke Getsy taken a young quarterback and elevated his game? You can go to Mississippi State. You can go back to his time at Indiana and Pennsylvania, not Indiana, IU, Indiana, Indianapolis, but Indiana and Pennsylvania. You go back that far. Go back to his time in West Virginia. There's no real track record for him elevating the quarterback play. So while I agree with the caller in saying, look at the Green Bay Packers, it could work with the receivers and the pass catchers that they have, my concern is, when is he going to finally develop a quarterback? Now, you can criticize Justin Fields all you want. He's a Florida quarterback. We understand that. That's why he's a backup in Pittsburgh now. But when you don't have the proven track record of developing a young quarterback who wasn't an MVP before you got there, Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have question marks. And that's where my questions lie.
Yeah, no, great, great response there. And Travis, again, amazing call, brother. Yeah. And we appreciate it. And I think, too, that, great call. You have to look at things and not read too much into it based on the past. I mean, to me, the recency, maybe I'm biased to recency, but the recency, what he did in Chicago, to me, I think you're right about the Packers. The other thing I want to say is too, about the 12 personnel and the two tight end sets. And we said this the last show, Brock Bowers is not a regular tight end. He's completely different. It's a different mold. So you're going to see Brock Bowers in at the same time as Michael Mayer, but it's not going to be a two tight end set. It's going to be, he might be in the slot. He might even be outside, Mo. I mean, you that's how, if you look at the stuff, I would invite everybody to go watch some of this, the highlights. And if you have any time, maybe even like a quarter of a game from Georgia last year and see how they even had him at H-back. Like he can play anywhere on the field. That's why the scouts were so excited about Brock Bowers, because he's not a regular tight end, and why Michael Mayer's role is not changing. It's going to be the same as what they drafted him for. Brock Bowers is going to be doing something completely different. That doesn't mean that they won't have a 12 personnel set and have a quote unquote two tight end sets and use them in a more traditional way. But I think this is what's great about Bowers, is you can do anything with him. He's like a Swiss Army knife on the offense. And for the Raiders and how they've built up their wide receiver room now with some more depth and some speed, it bodes well for the offense.
One thing I will say that Travis said that sticks out to me, and that it's a glimmer of hope for Raider fans who may be iffy on Luke Getsy like I am, the fact that he also brought that Getsy is willing to tailor the offense to the quarterback. So different offense with Green Bay than he had with Chicago. That's a positive, because you want your offensive coordinator to fit the offense around the talent that he has and not try to squeeze, you know, the players that he has into his, you know, narrow-minded look of an offense. So
right. That's
something to look forward to, that he's going to tell the offense around Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, whoever wins the job, and they'll have those pass-catching weapons to expand that passing game and score some points.
And again, it was Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Raiders don't have an Aaron Rodgers right now.
No, one of the and I'm not criticizing the Raiders quarterbacks, because Aaron Rodgers, he's one of the best to ever play the game. I know he only won one Super Bowl, I get that, but he's still one of the best players to ever play the game at the position. Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, much yeah. not that Luke Getsy didn't help him, but right. I'll take that job. I'll be his quarterback coach.
Right.
I think he'd do pretty well.
It's one thing when you're an offensive coordinator, you have a great quarterback. How many times have we seen offensive coordinators coach great quarterbacks and they go elsewhere and they're not all of a sudden, their offensive genius goes away all of a sudden? No, a lot of that is the quarterback. Not that we're taking away credit from Luke Getsy, but you also got to give a lot of credit to Aaron Rodgers for executing that offense. And the Rays, again, don't have an Aaron Rodgers type player right now.
No question. Travis, great call. Okay, next call, we're going out to Las Vegas. Here we go.
Hey, Scott and Mo, this is Nick from Vegas. Hey, first-time caller. First want to say you guys have an awesome show. Ever since I found you guys, I've been listening every week, and your only downfall is you don't have more episodes.
We do during the season.
Anyways, hey, the draft. I was kind of like a lot of other people, very confused on that first pick. But as I have thought about it more, I'm actually really excited. I was not on the bandwagon of trading the farm for Jaden Daniels. I think Gardner Minshew is more than capable. A lot more capable than people think, getting this team to the playoffs. My question is, and my concern is, Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer, very big mismatches for defense. And when you add on Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers, there is a ton of weapons. So my concern is that Luke Getsy is not going to be able to utilize it correctly. I think if I remember right, Komet had a great year with Luke Getsy last year, but I don't know Luke Getsy's track record as far as utilizing his weapons like that. It's just specifically a two tight end set. So just curious what your thoughts on that, but, otherwise, I'm very excited, and I think Minshew and this offense could really take these guys to the playoffs with this defense. So thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'm out.
All right, Nick in Vegas. Nick, good call there, too.
Great call.
And Mo, one point I want to make about this, too, because you and I both, when Luke Getsy was hired, and look, the guy does, you got to give him a chance, okay, number one.
Absolutely.
Number two, though, we said it was just kind of like okay, not real excited. We have doubts. So he's got every opportunity, and I think what Nick brought up there was that, boy, they have a lot of weapons on offense now, right? We'll talk about the offensive line in a second, but they have weapons. So if they get good quarterback play, whether it be out of Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, whoever wins that battle, okay? If they get good quarterback, it doesn't have to be great quarterback play. It has to be good quarterback play getting the ball to the weapons, okay? Then – to me, yes, I think I don't think there's pressure on Minshew or on O'Connell or even as much on Pierce. I think there's a lot of pressure even going in on Luke Getsy because there's not a lot of excuses there. Maybe quarterback if they both don't perform well, but I doubt that both these quarterbacks will just crap the bed. I think they'll do fine. So this is something you've said before, which is like, okay, Luke Getsy, I mean, you're going to have to come in and instantly, I say instantly, you're going to have to show that you know how to use these guys. If not, you could be a one and done guy.
I said it the night that they drafted Brock Bowers. This puts a lot of pressure on Luke Getsy simply because you can look at that offense on paper and say, on paper, this should be a decent offense, assuming right. The quarterback play is serviceable, right? Mm-hmm. You got Brock Bowers now. You got Michael Mayer, who you traded up for in the second round last year. You got Davante Adams, who's still a top wide receiver. Jacoby Myers had a pretty good year as number two last year. Trey Tucker is your speed in the slot. And now you add Michael Gallup. You got Jalen Guyton, who's a former Charger guy. That Tom Telesco's from Naples. You got some speed. You got some guys with starting experience with a lot of catches in a season. You got all of these playmakers. If you can't put more than 20 points on the board like we saw last season, your seat's going to get hot really quick, and they're going to say, well, you didn't have a great quarterback, but you had all these playmakers, and you didn't do much with it. So to me, the pressure's on Luke Getsy, and I will say this about Gardner Minshew. This is my one fear about Gardner Minshew, right? I said Gardner Minshew is a low-end starter, bridge gap spot starter guy. Let's keep in mind, while last year he got the Colts close to the playoffs, let's keep in mind who was the offensive coordinator with the Colts or the offensive play call, Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen was the guy who got Justin Herbert to break rookie records. Shane Steichen was the guy that got Jalen Hurts to the Super Bowl, helped that offense, the Eagles offense get to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts signs his big contract. What happened? Shane Steichen goes to Indianapolis, and Jalen Hurts all of a sudden doesn't look the same. Now, I'm fearing there's going to be a drop-off seeing Gardner Minshew under Shane Steichen versus seeing Gardner Minshew under Luke Getsy, simply because Shane Steichen has a more proven resume. I just ran down the numbers for you. Justin Herbert, great work there, rookie records. Jalen Hurts, that Eagles offense, goes to the Super Bowl, drops off and collapses last year without Shane Steichen. Then Shane Steichen goes to Indianapolis. Indianapolis has a top 10 scoring offense. By the way, they didn't have Jonathan Taylor for a lot of the season. They lost their starting quarterback in Anthony Richardson midway through the year, and Gardner Minshew had to step in. So Shane Steichen is the magic guy there. Now, I don't know what version of Gardner Minshew we're going to get. I will say Gardner Minshew did play well in Jacksonville when that team was a dumpster fire, but that's to reiterate the point that I've made and that the caller made. It's all on Luke Getsy. If he's able to show that he can be a proven offensive play caller, even though there are questions, Ray's offense should be fine. If not, they may be looking for a new coordinator in 2025, regardless of the quarterback position.
Yes, and I just to make sure, you're talking about Shane Steichen, right?
Yes.
There he is. Look at him. UNLV, baby. There he is playing football.
Boy.
Okay.
I just had to put that in there.
But yes. So, oops. I go back to my screen. I'm a bad director right now. What is this?
I believe Luke Getsy was also a former quarterback.
He was. Yes. So, no, you may, and I agree with you. I think that the pressure is all there. And again, you know, if you said it perfectly, if they get serviceable play from the quarterback, and your point about Steichen calling plays versus Luke Getsy calling plays, you're going to be able to, and again, people suddenly think that we're negative on Aiden O'Connell. We're not. But if Minshew, I'm going to give him a little bit of an edge because he's been in the league longer. Okay. He's got a little more mobility. He's got a little more this, a little more that. So if O'Connell wins out, different story, different quarterback. Play calling can change a little bit. With Minshew in there, you know what you got. You saw, to your point, you saw last year in Indianapolis. If Minshew goes out there and it's not working at all, what's the difference, right? And that's what you're getting at. So what's the difference? Yeah, the difference isn't Gardner Minshew. The difference is the play caller. So we'll see. But Nick, great call, man. And we do more shows during the season. We do two during the off season. During the regular season, we're doing four or five sometimes. So stick with us on that one. But, you know, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. All right. Now we go back out to California for our next call.
Hey, Scott and Mo. This is T. Dougie in California.
T. Doug!
I saw the draft last week. I like Brock Bowers. I like JPJ. I'm hoping Glaze ends up being someone we can put in and tackle at some point. Really, you know, you can't be upset at how it fell based off production, but not getting a quarterback just it really bums me out still, because if I really think about the league and all the situations that every team is in, are at this point, is it only the Raiders and maybe the Seahawks, the only teams that doesn't have at least what they think is a future quarterback? So, you know, the team's looking good on defense. You know, the weapons are there. It just, you know, we talked about it in the offseason, or, you know, hey, don't sweat over the wins. We can get, you know, we can get up in the draft with a trade. And I kept telling myself, you know, but this is such a talented class. I just don't see anybody trading down. And that was what we talked about. That's what I heard on the show and all the other shows. It's like, hey, you know, we can trade up. Teams trade up all the time. And there was zero trades made. And I know it takes two to tango, but it's just crazy how we talked about it for I don't know how many months and nothing ever came to fruition. Michael Penix, a second round pick, laughable. It's just funny how we talk about all these, you know, scenarios, and we end up taking Brock Bowers. I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes. But yeah, just hopefully, you know, Gardner Minshew's the guy, or AOC. But I'm just, if we get a playoff berth, you know, I'm happy and trade everything next year for a quarterback. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. There you go. T. Dougie. Thanks, man. We appreciate your call from California. Mo, what do you think?
So we've been pouring cold water on the trade up dream scenario all off season, saying, look, these quarterbacks are just too good to pass up on for teams that are rebuilding and need a quarterback. And I said the sliver of hope was the Patriots move down if they don't like the third quarterback available. And the Patriots came out and said that they didn't get a serious offer, in their opinion, for that third spot. So maybe teams weren't willing to offer the farm to move up. Maybe they were offers, but none of the Patriots really liked. The Patriots probably said, we'll start the conversation at 3 first-round picks, and teams probably weren't willing to offer that. I think it was Nick, our second caller, said he wasn't in favor of moving up for Jaden Daniels and selling the farm, and I guess a lot of teams agreed with Nick, our caller.
Yeah.
But I understand T. Dougie being bummed out about the quarterback position, but what I will say is that even if, worst-case scenario, let's say the Raiders are stuck in this purgatory where they have 7-9 wins and miss the playoffs, right? At least you know you have a roster that's built to win now. You just need to get the quarterback right. Now, if you're in a situation where you're like, all right, we built this roster. We got a top 10 scoring defense. We got Davante Adams, although he's on the other side of 30. We have an offense with all these playmakers, Brock Bowers, Trey Tucker got some speed. You know, Zeus is coming on. Let's say Zeus has a good year. Our offensive line is solidifying itself. You just need to get the quarterback in there. And they're going every offseason, they're going to be quarterback options. Whether it be free agency or the draft, there are going to be quarterback options. And there's already talk. I know this is early discussion, but there's early talk that quarterbacks aren't going to go as high next year as they did this year. So there'll be a chance for the Raiders to maybe move up a few spots and not have to sell the farm and to get a young quarterback with some promise. Maybe Cam Ward. You know, who knows? I'm just throwing out a name. But I think the Raiders will have a better shot at getting a young quarterback if they want one in next year's draft than they did in this year's draft.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. He did bring up a good point, and I'm not trying to throw gasoline on the fire here, but he was, you know, bummed out that it seems like every other team has a franchise quarterback except the Raiders and the Seahawks. Well, I would argue the Browns don't. Deshaun Watson has not come close at all.
The Titans aren't sure. I mean, the Titans went all in on Will Levis, but we don't know. Will Levis face plants this year, the Titans are drafting a quarterback. If Daniel Jones doesn't look good this year, the Giants are drafting a quarterback.
Correct.
So there are a handful of teams that, while they went all in with their quarterbacks, I could see them pivoting to a new quarterback if their quarterback struggles this upcoming
correct
season.
I mean, look, one of the most touted quarterback draft picks of all time, Trevor Lawrence, there's question marks. He is not. He regressed terribly the last year. So, and then the guys that went out this year, yes, they drafted their quote unquote hopeful franchise quarterback, but we don't know how Caleb Williams is going to do. We don't know how Jaden Daniels is going to do. So, I say that just to tell T. Dougie, we don't know how they're going to work out. So when we get to week 8 of next season, we'll see how many teams have a quote unquote franchise quarterback.
Derek Carr, New Orleans. If the New Orleans Saints don't do well, I could see the New Orleans Saints going in a different direction at quarterback. Even though they gave him a no trade clause, they could still cut him like the Raiders did and save about $30 million as a post-June 1 release.
Yeah,
remember, the Saints have drafted developmental quarterbacks in the last 2 years. They drafted Jake Haener last year, and then they drafted Spencer Rattler in the 5th round this year. So Derek Carr's situation may be a little, you know, unstable.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely. Great call, T. Dougie. Okay, now we're staying on the West Coast, but we're going up to the Pacific Northwest to Orlando in Portland. Orlando in Portland.
Hey, Mo and Scott. It's PNW Orlando calling from beautiful Portland, Oregon. You might also know me as Derek Carr's hair.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy, Garoppolo.
Where have you been?
I'm going to need to count. So
where you been? Him.
I digress. So haven't been listening for a while. Haven't called in a long time. I wanted to call in to call out something, and that is what I'm terming Mo's waiting to exhale moment. So what I mean by that is I've noticed that every time Mo, if there's a take, if there's something he doesn't like from Scott usually, but a caller, he'll do one of these. And usually mumble something under his breath. I can't. It's a little bit vulnerable. But yeah. Mo's not good at hiding his feelings. Okay, with that said, I had a question for you guys and a waiting to exhale take for Mo. The question is, with now with Bowers and with Mayer at tight end, and also Harrison, people forget about him, but he's a good one too. What do you think this is going to impact the Raiders having a fullback? I'm going to assume that maybe we don't have a fullback or they don't have a fullback. Because I could see Mayer in that position sometimes with Bowers in. It'd be really interesting to see if they also go a triple tight end set. Because like I said, Harrison's good, man. Keep an eye on that guy. All right. Here's my waiting to exhale moment for Mo. And it's basically this. Aha, Thayer Mumford. Despite all the slings you send to this man, he is it. The coaches believe in him. A lot of us in Raider Nation believe in him. And I'm excited for him next year in his first Pro Bowl season. All right, boys, that's it. Really excited for next year. Good draft. Appreciate all you do. Scott, one last thing. Never got my shirt. 59150. Don't know where it is. I'm sure it's in the mail a year later. But
that's terrible.
But yeah, never got my shirt. So we'll see. Dude. If maybe it shows up one day. But appreciate it all. Have a great day.
All right, man. You did not get, okay, that sucks. Well, first we'll get to his comment in a second, but the shirt, I'm going to send you extra stuff. Reach back out to me. Change your handle on Twitter to Aiden O'Connell's mustache. Right? I think that's your next one. I mean, or Gardner Minshew's hair, mullet, whatever you want to call it. But dude, I am sorry. We had a shirt issue when we were giving out shirts last year, and I thought we got everybody taken care of, but dude, I'm sorry about that. And then Mo, tell him why you hate everything I say.
That's funny that he's very good at picking up people's mannerisms.
Yeah.
And when he brought up the exhale that I do when I don't like a take, it's so true. I didn't think about it. I guess it's just one of those quirky things that you have when you don't know you're doing it. But it's funny how he picked that up and was able to point that out, because I know I do that, because it's kind of like a, oh boy, now I gotta go into this. I got to answer this in a way I have to answer this. Raider fans may not like it, but, you know, and it's good to have you back. Before I even get to the comment, it's just good to have Derek Carr's hairs back. Minshew's mullet, Minshew's mustache would be a great sort of thing for you. But to get into actual football, you know, content discussion, the fullback position, I think you could see, and I think Chip Tower said this last week, you could probably see Brock Bowers in that.
Absolutely.
Role. The Raiders may not have a traditional fullback on their depth chart, but they have two tight ends who could definitely fill that spot. Definitely when the Raiders want to run the ball downhill, because, you know, with Antonio Pierce, the Raiders are going to run the football.
Yeah, and if you remember, so it's interesting with NFL offenses, and stay with me on this one, but, you know, they change with the times. Things change. Some things go in fashion, then they're out of fashion. And in the 80s, back when old guys like me were learning football, watching football, they moved away from the fullback a lot. A lot of offenses used an H-back, sometimes called a slot back, whatever you want to call it, depending on the offense. So there was especially the AFC, even the Raiders did it. The Raiders had H-backs. So what you do is you swap out, and to your point about what Chip Towers told us about Brock Bowers, is I can see them, and that's why we talked about him being the Swiss Army knife. Because, yeah, you move away from the fullback, and I love fullbacks, but they're just not it right now. Some teams have them. Of course, the Raiders have had them. John Gruden was a guy who was going to use a fullback. But now with Brock Bowers there, and you say, well, he's going to catch the ball. No, he does it all. So I think that you'll see, and they might even have another guy that comes in at H-back too on the roster, or somebody they sign in camp to play that position, and then you don't have to have a fullback. So to me, it was a great, great pickup there. And I think that it's something that you'll see him do. And that's foreign to people because H-back hasn't been a thing in the NFL, but it's starting to slowly come back.
Also, shout out to Harrison Bryant. You know, he's not in a lot of our discussions because we're spending so much time talking about Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. You know, Derek Carr's here brought up a good point about Harrison Bryant. He had some good plays with the Browns this past season. He catched the football. He could also block. So he'll be involved. You may see 13 personnel with him in there, and he'll be able to contribute. Maybe not to the level as Mayer and Bowers, but he'll definitely be involved in the offense.
Yes. So Orlando, by the way, that's his name. Orlando, I'm going to take care of you, dude. If not, I will come on the air here and shame myself in some.
And I'll give a big exhale for Scott for missing if he doesn't do it.
Orlando will call and say, hey, finally got my stuff. I'm not only going to send you a t-shirt, dude. I'm going to send you a bunch of stuff. I'm going to leave it as a surprise, but please get in touch with me again, man. I can't believe you didn't get it. Because we had about 6 or 7 people who were in that position and everybody else was good. Never heard from anybody else that they didn't get their stuff. So please reach out to me. Great call from Portland. Hope you're doing well up there. Orlando.
Shout out to Orlando for showing up again on the scene.
Right. Now we're going to the Lone Star State. We're going down to Texas for our night. We're all over the country. I love it. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, Scott? What's up, Mo? Obi-Wan Raider calling in
Obi-Wan.
From Humble, Texas. I just want to say love the show, guys. Keep it up. And this has been a refreshing draft. It looks like it was a draft that was actually well managed. Alexa, shut up. Alexa, shut up. Really don't have too many gripes about the draft other than Atlanta screwing us out of our quarterback. I'm really want to see that Air Force kid, Trey Taylor, the Jim Thorpe Award winner, nation's best DB. I really like JPJ. He reminds me of Richie Incognito. He's going to be nasty. He's going to be so nasty. I can't wait for the season to start. I saw that little tweet that Alt put out there saying he wants to whoop Max Crosby's ass. He does not know what he's getting himself into. Max Crosby's going to eat that kid for lunch. At any rate, thank you guys for what you're putting out there, for the hard work you're doing for Raider Nation, keeping us all informed. And go Raiders. I give the draft a solid A-. I can't fault them for not getting a quarterback. There's nobody there to get. And they didn't do anything stupid like drafting Spencer Rattler in the first or second round. He wasn't that type of talent. And they did pick up a quarterback as a UDFA. Past regimes would have drafted a quarterback. They'd have probably drafted Spencer Rattler in the first damn round. So it's refreshing to see somebody with Tom Telesco and Pierce right in the ship. We have a direction we're headed, and that's refreshing to see. Obi-Wan Raider, and I'm out.
All right. Obi-Wan Raider down in Texas. Appreciate the call. Very good stuff. And yes, I think he's right. And it's funny because I still have questions. We have questions on Luke Getsy. I still have questions to see how Pierce is going to do with a full season. But I agree with him, Mo. I think for the first time since you and I have been doing the show together, and even before that, I feel like there is a direction and it's palpable. You can see it. You know, Gruden talked about stuff like that, and Josh McDummy talked about it, but it never really played out. With this one, with the draft, with the free agents, it all seems to fit in with exactly what they've been saying.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Josh McDaniels' plans usually play out in the preseason, and when it got to the season, it would just go to, you know, down the toilet. Like, if yes. You remember, the Raiders were like preseason champs. You know, they went undefeated one preseason, and you're thinking, okay, they have a direction, and get to regular season, it looks a little discombobulated. With this team, and I said this on draft day, the reason why I like this draft class over previous draft classes is there's a identity. This team, and Antonio Pierce set that identity. He took over last year for Josh McDaniels, and now it's continued into the offseason where the Raiders are getting physical football players, Brock Bowers, JPJ, right? And they also, when they did take a chance for some of the picks that may be more projects, they have the physical tools. So they have these, you know, they can run a 4.3, you know, high 4.3s, or they have ball production. Maybe they're high IQ players who've, you know, had high ball production. That's why I like MJ Devonshire coming in early and making contributions. I talked about his ball production, 18 pass breakups, 7 interceptions his last 2-3 years. So they have high IQ players that aren't reckless. Physical high IQ, not reckless. So when you think about the reckless players like Damon Arnett, John Abrams, you know, those guys were physical, but didn't always make the best decision on the football field. They draw penalties. So the Raiders were one of the most disciplined football teams, I believe the least penalized football team last year. So they have a physicality and they have the high IQ players to execute on the football field. That's what you should feel good about. And that's what they drafted this year in 2024.
Well said. And I want to echo too what he said about Trey Taylor. Listen, you've been talking a lot about Devonshire, and I agree with you, but like Taylor's the guy I'm really excited about. He lacks a little speed, but with coaching in the NFL, technique and whatnot, I'm not saying he's going to come out and be an all pro year number one. He may be, I don't know, but he did win the Thorpe Award. And the thing I like most about this, and you talked about it, the type of player that they're drafting and they're signing. Trey Taylor went to the Air Force Academy. You want to talk about discipline and leadership? Champ Kelly talked about him on Wednesday's press conference too, because this kid is mature. For those of you who don't have a lot of familiarity with the service academies, you might as well be in an Ivy League school from an academic standpoint. And then you add in the military side of it with the discipline, the leadership, how you have to lead other men. This is a guy that I think, you know, this is a Pierce guy. It's a Pierce guy. And so I think that it's going to be fun to watch them and see these young kids develop. So very good, Obi-Wan Raider. I appreciate the call, man, as always. And now we're going back to Northern California. Longtime listener. I haven't heard from him in a while either. And that's NorCal Raider. NorCal Raider, here he is.
Hey, Sha. Hey, Mo. This is NorCal Raider out of Woodland, California, north of Sacramento. I was just thinking a couple of things, you know, with this draft, you know, that we just had, you know, we chose best player available. I think that philosophy is pretty good because we have an experienced GM, and for a long time, you know, even we had Renji McKenzie and the guy from the Patriots, I can't even think of his name right now. The guys were all like GMs. They were kind of like, you know, they were more of a personnel. They weren't really, they didn't understand the draft concept. And I think the best player available draft mentality is a really good thing, because if you go back to many, many years ago, back in 2004, like if we would have chose the best player available, instead of picking a tackle like Robert Gallery, we could have chosen, because we were going based on need. We didn't go by the best player available. We could have gotten Larry Fitzgerald or even gotten, I believe the guy from the Lions,
Megatron.
It was name either Calvin Johnson. Yeah, we could have got Calvin Johnson or you know, one of those players, or even Eli Manning or one of those guys. So I think the philosophy of just being aggressive and going out to getting the best player available. That's going over need. I think that's a big deal. I always want to allocate money into my offensive line the most. That's the most critical thing. And then everything else. And then from there, you could just build. So hopefully we continue with this philosophy. You know, like even a couple of years ago, when Herbert got drafted, we could have even drafted some of those quarterbacks coming out. We should have replaced, you know, our existing quarterback, or at least planned for it before we cut ties. And now we're kind of in a situation where where things are kind of up in the air. So, but if things go well or things go 50-50 this year, next year, there's not a lot of teams that have quarterback needs. So we might have a chance to get a quarterback for sure in the first round. But that's all I got to say about that. Keep pushing, guys. Good job.
All right. There you go. NorCal Raider. Good to hear from you, man. I appreciate that very much. You calling in, but good points, Mo, as usual.
And that's what I was saying to T. Dougie, who was kind of bummed out that the Raiders didn't draft the quarterback. While you may have to sit through a year of, hopefully not, hopefully the Raiders go to the playoffs, but if they don't and they're stuck in this, again, 7-9 win range and they're in just middle ground, which nobody wants to be in because you either want to bottom out to get the quarterback at the top of the draft or you want to be a playoff team. If the Raiders are stuck in this middle ground, I think next year could be the year that they can get their young quarterback because, as the caller said, a lot more teams – a lot fewer teams will need a quarterback next year than this year. So the Raiders will be able to move up or maybe able to stay where they are if they're in the middle of the draft, or maybe they could stay in that 15, 13 to 17 range and draft a young quarterback. You know, who knows? Free agency, a quarterback may hit free agency. I know there's going to be a lot of talk about Dak Prescott. He's going to be the big name because he's coming up into a contract year. Mm-hmm. His contract expires after the 2024 season. So just like Kirk Cousins was the big name who moved, Dak Prescott could be the big name who moves next year. But I would, if I'm the Raiders, I'd still, regardless of what they do in free agency, I'd want to draft the quarterback because you want that long-term player who's going to get you set for the decade, for a decade or more.
Correct. And the other thing to think about here too, and you kind of touched on a little bit earlier in the show, Mo, was the fact that the Raiders addressed a lot of needs this year. I mean, they still have some open spots. They need to figure out outside cornerback and some of that stuff. But If their draft class, if they did really well on their draft class, if JPJ does what people think he does, if DJ Glaze comes along and is at least a good swing guy, and Thayer Munford Jr. performs and gets better and has a high level and they answer, he's our right tackle, and everybody else does well and the quarterbacks do okay, then suddenly you're in that position next year where it's like, yeah, we finished 8-9 or we finished 9-8 and we're picking 10th, but now we were on the cusp. We lost three games by less than 3 points, whatever it is, right? So we'll see how the season plays out. But then you're like saying to yourself, we just need a quarterback. We need a guy who's going to come in. So guess what we do? We can trade up or we trade with another team who's looking to dump a quarterback. I don't know. But to your point, you then are in the position where the glaring need to get us to the next step would be a quarterback. And then you can trade draft capital because you've done well in this draft. You've done well in free agency, and you can then go for it, right? Like some of the teams did this year.
Right, and I think that would be the consolation prize of being stuck in this middle ground. But you would say, okay, if not for below average or just average quarterback play, the Raiders have been a playoff team. Oh, man. But the rest of our roster is pretty much set. We'll see what happens at cornerback and right tackle. But you could say, well, most of the roster now, you may lose some players here and there in free agency, but you'll have some money to, you know, replace them. You know, linebacker maybe, but I think Tommy Eichenberg is going to be the guy after Robert Spillane or Divine Diablo, you know, moves on. So you'll have a roster that's ready to compete right away. And then, as you said, you could just say, okay, we don't have that many needs, so we can roll the dice on trading up or using draft capital for quarterback because we've already filled a lot of our needs. We already have players who are ready to start now. We just need the quarterback.
Right. And again, too, you look at the Raiders contract situation. You got a couple big ones. Of course, Davante Adams gets massive next year. I still think they'll restructure it. I think he'll do that, especially if they can have a good season. They might even do it before the start of this season. Mm-hmm. So you look at that. And so this is where you want to be in the NFL, Mo. You want to have as many young guys that are performing and role players that you brought in as free agents that are not making a ton of money. You have enough guys on lower contracts that you then fill spots, right? You can go get a huge free agent, let's say a cornerback if you need to next year, and then you can go draft your quarterback. And oh, by the way, somebody leaves, you can fill that spot with another guy because you have the money and the ability to do it. That's why the draft's so important, to keep your payroll in line and to be able to build. And when it's time to press on the gas, you're able to do it. So good stuff. Appreciate it, NorCal Raider. All right. Our good friend Tarek. Let's see where Tarek is this week because he calls in every week and he's traveling everywhere. He was in, where was he last week? Chicago? Before that, he was here in Cincinnati. Now we'll see where he's at. Tarek.
Indiana. Good evening, Scott and Mo. This is Tarek calling at you guys from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, right up the highway. Oh,
close. Well, talking a little bit more Raiders as we get closer and closer to OTAs and minicamp. I do love what Telesco's doing. He continues post-draft to bring in competition and depth at all positions. So we brought in Andre Pete, former Pro Bowl right tackle from Saints. I was surprised to see that we got Gallup in there for competition. We brought in Guyton, receiver, former Charger. I think the offensive line is starting to come together. It looks really, really solid. I think the only position that is a question mark currently is right tackle. Been doing a little bit more research on Brock Bowers, and I read that this dude is going to be Hunter Renfrow on steroids. So excited to see what he brings to the table as a rookie. We will have more cap money following June 1st. I'm excited to see Alexander Mattison. Keep forgetting about him, the big back we brought in from Minnesota. Wonder how he's going to do paired up with Zamir White. And I think the only question mark is really in a quarterback-heavy conference is AOC or Minshew. Obviously, that's premature. I mean, especially when you're putting in a new offensive system. I guess it's whoever has the better camp. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on those two quarterbacks, because that seems to be the only missing piece. And realistically, again, premature, but what are the expectations going to be? How big of a leap can and will the Raiders make? I do think they're going to be substantially improved. And prematurely, I'm saying something like maybe 10 wins tops. But when you have a new system in place with, you know, without that franchise quarterback, then it leads me to the points I made recently when I had said that, you know, we don't have that franchise guy, but hopefully the guy behind center can distribute the football, protect the football, not make any mistakes, and play consistently. So let me know what you guys think as we get closer to mini camps and OTAs. Looking forward to your guys' show this week. Have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you guys later. Over and out from Columbus. Go Raiders. Bye-bye.
All right, there's Tarek. Always good, positive energy from Tarek, too, which you can get it over the phone even. I appreciate that. The only bone I have to pick with you, Tarek, is don't compare Brock Bowers to Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow was a fifth-round pick, and yes, he had some great moments for the Raiders, but they're not even comparable. But I get what you're saying. Anyway, Mo, listen, it's a good question, and I'm summarizing here, but how good can this Raider team be is a good question. I think we're going to see the defense continue to grow and get better. Now, you got the one question at cornerback. We'll see how it goes. But I have every faith in Patrick Graham and the roster they have and where they've filled spots in. The offense, we talked about it, all the tools. To me, the huge question marks and how this team will do and where it will go are Luke Getsy and the quarterback position.
Well, Scott, I will say if Hunter Renfrow did take steroids, he might look a little like Brock Bowers. I'm just saying. I'm just giving that to
Hunter was
really
part
quick.
Of his show for a year. He was on our show for a year every week. I love the guy. I'm just saying.
No, in all seriousness, I'll get to the quarterback question because Tarek wanted our opinion on the two quarterbacks. And I want to make this clear again. I mean, you probably said this 50 million times. We don't dislike Aiden O'Connell on this show. I actually think the quarterback competition is going to be a spirited battle. I think it's going to be close. Yes. I don't think you're going to know who the Raiders are going to start a quarterback maybe until the last week of preseason. I think that battle is going to go down to the wire. But as you said, you hinted to it, Gardner Minshew could just do a little more physically than Aiden O'Connell, and he has the experience edge. That's why, I don't want to speak for Scott, that's why I think he has the edge in this battle. There was also a tweet from Rap Sheet. When the Denver Broncos took Bo Nix, Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network had a tweet, a post that said, you know, Bo Nix off the board to the Denver Broncos. Looks like it's Minshew time in Las Vegas. He didn't say, oh, it looks like it's going to be a quarterback battle. He said, it looks like it's going to be Minshew time. So not only us, but a lot of the national reporters have an inkling that Minshew is at least a front runner for the position. That doesn't mean he's going to win the job.
No.
But going into camp, a lot of people see Minshew as the front runner, even though Aiden O'Connell was there last year. Just remember, it's a new offense. So you're giving the edge to the veteran, the more veteran quarterback with more experience, who, as we've said, almost got to the playoffs with the Colts. Now, Aiden O'Connell's team went 8-9. Not a lot of his fault. A lot of that on Josh McDaniels. We get it. But Aiden O'Connell had some clunkers against good teams. You remember the Vikings game. Mm-hmm. Remember the Chiefs game. So I'm not trying to bring Aiden O'Connell down, but let's keep in mind against good teams or teams with winning records or teams that were viable for a playoff spot, he did struggle. And I think that's where the question marks come in with Aiden O'Connell. Not to say he can't improve, because you would hope over the course of the offseason he does show improvement, which is why I do think it will be a close battle. But I think when it comes down to it, when you're looking at the roster, we talked about it, Scott. This is a roster that's ready to win now. You're looking for the best quarterback on the field, and that I think that's going to be Gardner Minshew after the preseason.
Right. You talked a lot about it. Reporters Vic Tafer, of course, one of the beat writers for the Raiders, for The Athletic. I read a piece from him today where it basically ended saying, and, it, you know, Brock Bowers, and it's going to have a great impact for Gardner Minshew. Like, I think a lot of people believe that. It's not to say it's not an open competition. I believe Antonio Pierce. I take him at face value. I think it's a completely open competition going into camp. And I get heat because I say that Aiden O'Connell's not going to be a franchise quarterback. I just don't think he will be. People disagree and say they're going to come back and tell me they told me so. Great. If he does, that's fantastic for the Raiders. That means you found the guy in the fourth round. Everybody wins. That's awesome. I'll be the first one to say awesome. But I just don't see it happening. I'm not an expert. I'm not somebody who's been right on every quarterback. I like Josh Rosen, for Christ's sake. But I will say, based on what you just said, I think Minshew has the edge. Doesn't mean he's going to win it, because Aiden O'Connell could ball out. Him and Luke Getsy could find magic. You never know. But it's going to be fun to watch it in camp and to see who the best quarterback will be for this Raiders team to use all those weapons. All right. Thanks, Tarek. Appreciate it. All right. Our last call of the night, as always, is our good friend Jacob in Fresno.
This is yes. Jacob from Fresno. What's up, guys? Woo! That was a rough one. Had to almost take a breath there. How you guys doing?
Good, Jacob. Yeah,
it's the middle of the week, as always. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I am. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about what you guys went through on, Monday or Sunday? Monday show? Tuesday show? The show you did earlier this week. Talking about Josh Jacobs, and you went on a little bit about the Tom Brady roast and the sensitivities that we have as a culture today. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Josh Jacobs. I go back and forth with this because part of me is like, yeah, what's your problem, Josh? Why can't you be a little bit nicer to the fans? But then I see the whole other side of, why can't our fans just treat Josh Jacobs like he's a, I don't know, a human being?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, we were pretty ridiculous to him. I wasn't, but, I mean, collectively, Raider Nation, we were pretty brutal with a guy that we claimed to want on our team. Like, why can't he just take a pay cut? Why can't he just stop whining on the internet? I get that, but he does also have a mother and a father. I get that, but he is also a human. The guy wants what's best for him. That makes sense. I mean, he's going to just try and have a good career and try to do that. But at the same point, you know, once a Raider, always a Raider. You want the guy to respect the shield, and it kind of felt like he didn't really respect the shield on the way out, and that was a shame. In terms of the Tom Brady thing, it's the same kind of thing. Can we treat Aaron Rodgers' family like they're – humans, or not Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Hernandez. Can we treat players like they're humans? We have to remember these guys are there for our entertainment, but when they're not there for our entertainment, they have their own lives after that. You know, they're real people. They're not just faces that we know. They're actually real people with souls. And I think we can forget that. My question for the week, who are you guys most excited about that we drafted? I'm really looking forward to see Jackson Powers Johnson. That guy's going to be a beast. And that's about it. You guys take it easy. Go Raiders.
There you go. Jacob, I don't know why he even says his name anymore. You know immediately who it is. Maybe for the people just watching the show for the first time.
First time listeners.
Yes. His point about Josh Jacobs, and I got some good reaction to this too. Most people were of the thought, like, he doesn't know us anything. Like, when he plays, he's not a Raider anymore. So good luck to you. Is you're right. People treat these athletes sometimes because they have access to them in a way they've never had via social media. They go at these guys like these guys actually, you can be a player and care about fans, Mo, but people would post to him mad at him because he didn't have a good game for their fantasy team. They would post at him for the holdout. They would post all this kind of stuff. And then when he leaves, I think it's the same people. I don't think it's people like Jacob or most of you watching the show. I think it's people who are just extremist with all that stuff, with social media. They don't know how to handle themselves in the real world, let alone online. And so they do this. So his point is well taken. If you're going to treat somebody a certain way, I'm not saying you all treated Josh Jacobs bad, because you didn't. A lot of people loved him, or his jersey, all that stuff. But he has a great point there that we didn't touch on last time we talked about it.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think most people were, you know, respectful of Josh Jacobs, or just said, or indifferent, said, well, okay, he did what's best for him. We move on. I'm a Raider fan. He's now a Green Bay Packer. I appreciate the time he played for my team, but now I move on, just like he moved on. I think most people are of that mindset.
Yeah.
Of course, you get on Twitter, you go on social media, you're going to get the you know, the whack jobs out there who complain about their fantasy team and DM him, hey, I need, you know, 100 yards and 2 touchdowns for my fantasy team. Like, that's going to really matter or motivate him. It's not.
Exactly.
But one point I do want to touch on, though, and I kind of touched on it last week, that I want to kind of expand on. To me, it goes both ways where, okay, fans want players to be respectful of the show on the way out, but are fans always respectful to all players who are no longer Raiders if they didn't play well? So I brought up Damon Arnett and Alex Leatherwood. There was no outrage. I didn't see a long tweet from Alex Leatherwood thanking Raider Nation and thanking the Raiders for giving me an opportunity, and no one said anything about it. No one said a word because he wasn't good. So is it about that Josh Jacobs didn't say goodbye, or was it that he was a good player who didn't say goodbye?
Yeah.
So you're not treating all Raiders equally. It's only the good players you hold to that standard.
Correct.
I think it's a bit, you know, double-sided.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now, his point about, we were talking about the Brady roast and Aaron Hernandez. So I get what he's saying there, and you're absolutely right. You know, Aaron Hernandez had, I think, one or two kids, and his wife or girlfriend, I don't know if they were married or not, came out to say that it was, you know, not great for them and this kind of stuff. And while I understand that, look, a roast is a roast. The most inappropriate things are said in these roasts. And yes, but remember, his children have to walk around, and they could turn on ESPN and there's a 30 for 30 on Aaron Hernandez about how he killed people. So I'm not excusing it. I just think, though, that yes, are there things that cross the line? There probably are. But we're also in a society today, and I'll get on my soapbox for like 2 seconds, where the most crass stuff is acceptable. So I'm not defending those jokes, but I'm saying I'm not surprised by them, nor should anyone, because I can walk in a grocery store, and I'm sometimes sitting, I was in a restaurant, real quick, sorry, quick story, with my kids. We stop at a little restaurant to have a burger, and there's these other, like, I'd say early 20s, I call them kids, sitting next to us. And they're dropping F-bombs, and they're talking about stuff, you know, and it's like, look, I don't care if I'm in a bar where there's adults, but that kind of stuff is acceptable in society today. Like, they don't even bat an eye, right? I see it from teenagers. I see all over the place. So, again, not excusing it, and I think you have a great point, Jacob. I really do. But I think that's indicative of where we are as a culture right now, is a lot of that stuff happens. It's acceptable. You see it on TV. I know Netflix is a paid channel, but nonetheless, you see it everywhere. You see it on regular TV more than you do. When I was a kid, they couldn't curse on TV. They couldn't do this. And now you see people butt naked on TV. So there you go.
My main point of that is that just because it's allowed doesn't mean it's okay. So like you, Scott, I'm not okaying, you know, the jokes about Aaron Hernandez and his family. They didn't have to cross that line.
Right.
But there are a lot of things in today's world that people don't have to do, and it's done. And you just kind of have to just roll with the punches, fair or not, whether it's fair or not. And I was saying you should be subjected to that. But if you know that a roast is going to happen, I would just do my best to tune it out. Now, kids are going to run into other people that may poke jokes and stuff like that. Oh, did you? Your dad was mentioned on the roast. They can't escape that stuff. But such is life. When you have a father who was a celebrity and NFL player, well known, that's what comes with it. And unfortunately, things that he did are now going to rub off on his children, which they had nothing to do with. So I think of all of this, I feel sorry for his kids.
Absolutely. Sins of the father. It happens all the time. again, not an excuse or not okaying it. Because again, I think you can go too far. I like comedy. I like crass comedy. I thought some of that roast was fantastic. But I thought, yeah, I mean, when you start using that joke over and over and you're going back to it, it's like, okay, all right. Now, these guys all write their own stuff, so they don't know what other people are writing. But my point is that you have a situation where, you know, again, what's acceptable and what's not anymore. I mean, listen, on this show, especially on YouTube, we get some of the craziest comments. You don't see them because I moderate them because they are so crazy and out of left field. And I'm not talking about telling me I'm wrong or I'm stupid or whatever. I can deal with that. It comes with the territory.
Personal attacks.
But personal, and I'm talking personal attacks that cross the line. Look, you got a show here with a white dude and a black dude. I get stuff. I get racial stuff. I get jokes about our appearances. I get things like, I bet your wife is this, and I bet you're this. And it happens, and it's terrible that people would even think to do that, you know, but it happens. So again, that's where we are, unfortunately, but I appreciate Jacob calling it out because I think it's worthy of discussion. And it's good for all of us because we live in the culture. It's good for all of us to think about it. We like these guys. We respect them. We root them on. And so, but as Jacob said, they're human beings. They have a soul. So just remember that when you get mad because a guy fumbled or a guy threw an interception, like you can be upset about it, but there's no need to make it personal.
Or when a guy has an opinion on a sports show and you don't like his opinion and you want to stalk his address or talk about his family or something like that, just remember that guy or woman has a family. Yeah. And we're not even close to the level of celebrity as athletes.
Yeah.
But Scott, I don't tell these stories on air, but when I criticize Raiders for certain things and I tell people I'm not here to help you believe in the Raiders. I'm not here to wave pom-poms for Raiders. The only thing I owe you as a sports writer, as a sportscaster, is my honesty. I'm gonna be authentic. Good or bad, I'm gonna be authentic. Right. And sometimes when I'm a little more on the critical side, you wouldn't believe some of the messages I get. I'm not here to cry on my soapbox, but
no,
I understand with the job that I have, that comes with it. I'm a human too, and I understand it's not what I want to see in my DMs or my messages or my emails, people trying to, you know, figure out where I am or where I live, my family and stuff like that. But I understood when I took this job, what comes with it, right? So yep. When you marry a football player or a sports athlete, you got to understand what comes with it. Now, the kids that come along didn't sign up for that.
No,
they were just born into this world. And that's why I said, going back to this Rosa and Hernandez, I feel bad most for the kids because they're just brought into a situation not knowing, okay, now I have to deal with this at school or if they're older at work once they grow up. That's who I feel sorry for.
Yeah. And listen, again, I know how you guys all feel about Tom Brady, even though he's going to be an owner of the Raiders. And I felt bad for him. You know, one or two divorce jokes. Again, he's got kids too. And I know nobody's crying for them because they live in a lap of luxury and all that stuff. But that too, like I felt uncomfortable because it was used so much. And again, he's got kids. And you can say, well, they're not watching the Netflix special. They're younger or whatever. But you know what? Now we all have phones. We have phones. These kids see stuff because guess what? All those bits from that thing were put into TikTok and they were put into Instagram. So guess what? The kids are going to see it. All right. So, I'm fortunate. My parents stayed married. I wasn't part of a divorce, but I know people who were. And when you're a kid and your parents get divorced, it's painful. And so for people to make light of it now, again, he signed up for it. I get it, but it's tough for them. So you're right though. And again, we're here. We give our opinions. You don't have to like us. If you don't like us, you don't have to watch us. You don't have to read us. You don't have to do that. There's members of the media that I'm not high on their work. I don't partake in it. I don't watch it, but I don't go talking bad about them. I get people DMing me all the time. Did you see so-and-so's story? Is he a jerk or what? No, I'm not going there. Right. Because we all have people who like what we do. We have people who don't like what we do. And that's everybody. No matter how much you think somebody's loved, there's always somebody who doesn't like them. So anyway, but we put up with it because we love talking to you guys. And again, look at this. We're almost at an hour and a half this show. So yes, we're not doing as many shows, but look at this, an hour and a half, mostly calls. So we appreciate it. And Mo's a little under the weather too. So he gamed up.
That was probable coming into the show. Probable.
Probable. Yes. was a game time decision, but he made the game time decision. So it's all good. Mo, before we check out, let everybody know we're talking to everybody on Thursday. Anything you want to tell people about coming up in your world over the next couple of days?
So Tarek tried to get me to tip my hand on what I think the Raiders are going to be with their win-loss record. And I didn't answer Tarek just for that reason, for this reason. I have a BR Live coming up on the day of the schedule release. So Wednesday, the NFL made an announcement that the schedule will be released on Wednesday, May 15th. I will be on Bleacher Report Live giving my game-by-game predictions for the Raiders and telling you what I think they're going to end up at the end of the season with their win-loss record. Last year, I predicted every game under Josh McDaniels correctly, and I started off 9-0. Now, of course, the Raiders changed their head coach, so no way I could predict the rest of those games. But I'd say I did pretty well last year, so tune in for that Wednesday once the schedule releases. BR app, I'll be there for a half hour going over all the games.
There you go. See? All right, so make sure you do that. And I'm actually glad they moved the schedule because we might have conflicted with it with your live and trying to do a show and talk about it. So that's what's great. So we'll be back, of course, on Tuesday. But then next Thursday, we'll be able to talk about the schedule after Mo does his live. And we get his – you'll hear it first from him there. But then if you miss the Bleacher Report live, we'll find you. We'll hunt you down and kick you out of Raider Nation. But no, but we'll have it on the show on Thursday as well. Working on a couple guests, too. I'm trying hard to get a couple – guests I think the Raider fans will like. So stick with us on that one. But we appreciate you being with us again. Subscribe to the show if you don't already do it. We usually don't go an hour and a half, but man, there was so many great calls. I mean, there was not a bad call today, Mo. And not that we get bad calls anyway, but man, just you guys impress me. And listen, I know every group of people has idiots and people who don't know what they're talking about. But I will tell you that our listeners and viewers, even in the chat live on YouTube, you can see on the side right now, they have great stuff. They have great knowledge. Even when they disagree with us, they make great points. And man, I love doing these shows. And during the season, we do a whole show where it's just reader mail and stuff like that. So thank you guys for calling in and being part of the show. You make the show better. And don't forget that, because without you, we would not be here. So thank you.
A lot of our callers do good research. Our first call set the tone with his research on the Packers and their offense. Like that set the tone for that segment. And a lot of the callers, again, doing a lot of research, doing a lot of digging on Brock Bowers, getting familiar with the Raiders players. It's good to see. It's good to hear.
Yes, they're all little Mo Motons.
No, they're all their own people. There's only one Mo. There's only one Tarek. There's only one Nick. There's only one Obi-Wan Raider. There's only one Orlando Raiders, Derek Carr's hair, however he wants to be called. Look at that individually.
Look at that recall on all the names. So good. Gotta like that. See, that's how important you guys are to us. So thank you very much. And I didn't screw up anybody's name tonight. So that's good, too, because that's happened a couple times. So we'll be good. But Orlando, don't forget to message me, because I'm not only just sending you a T-shirt. I'm going to send you some cool stuff, some other cool stuff in addition to a T-shirt. I should say T-shirts. Man, that's terrible. All right. For our producer, Mike Ravier, for Mr. Mo Moten, I am Scott Colbranson. This has been Silver and Black today. We will see you guys Tuesday. Take care of one another and have a great weekend.